when I was attending middle school, growing up in Rochester, New York, I had the privilege to have most of the years of middle school a Rebbe whose name was and is Rabbi Yaakov Perlman. He was a wonderful Rebbe. I have many fond memories of various insights and comments and observations. I actually went online today. I never knew his first name. I always knew him as Rabbi Perlman. I never knew his first name, so I just Googled Rabbi Perlman of Rochester, New York. He has his own Wikipedia page, which means he became, or is famous. I never knew these things about him. He was one of the youngest rabbis ever to be, or youngest people ever to be ordained as a rabbi in Britain by the Manchester Rosh Yeshiva of Gaon Yehuda Zev Segal. He learned then in Lakewood. He learned under the famed Rav Aaron Cutler and then his son Rav Schneur Cutler. He also had a master's in Jewish history from Hofstra. He has a PhD in educational administration from the University of California in San Diego. And when I knew him, he was a rabbi of a small shul in Rochester. And he taught in the school, the day school I grew up in, at Hillel Day School. And then eventually he moved to Ireland and became the chief rabbi of Ireland from 2001 and 2000 to 2008. And I think he presently lives in Baltimore, at least what it says on the Wikipedia page. So the reason why I'm quoting him today is I'll never forget, we must have been learning, we were learning 1 year of Sefer Devarim, the fifth and last book of the Torah, which we're currently reading now in Shul each Shabbos. And he made a very powerful statement. He said, if for whatever reason, we would only be allowed to study one parsha in the Torah, for whatever reason, we would only have the choice to an opportunity and the ability to select one parsha. If he had to decide and to choose, he would select Parshas Veschanan. That would be the parsha. And I don't remember everything he said about it, about why that would be the choice. I definitely remember, and it's obvious, that Parshas Veschanan contains not only the Aseret Hadibros, the Ten Commandments, right, it's repeated the second time in the Torah, so the entire Aseret Hadibros are in Parshas Veschanan. The pasuk Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, as well as the first paragraph of the Shema, the Ahavta. Also, one of the questions that one of the children ask at the Seder, the question that the Baal Haggadah says is the question of the Chacham, the wise son, that's contained in this week's parsha. I'll show you in a few moments several very famous psukim that we recite and are davening on a pretty regular basis are found in this week's parsha, as well as I want to show you also some very powerful words of Moshe Rabbeinu, words of great encouragement and words of rebuke and words to help direct the Jewish people as they're about to move forward into the land of Israel, as well as words which I believe are very relevant for today. So when Rabbi Perlman, my fourth grade Rebbe, made this comment, I don't think I fully appreciated it until over the years. I always thought about his comments. And somehow certain things stick with you when you are as a young child, you hear certain things. And every year when we come to Parshas Veschanan, I always remember that observation of his. And so I'm going to show you, I don't have time to do everything, but just to show you some of the things I think why Parshas Veschanan is such a unique, important, and critical parsha. And, you know, God forbid we can only study one parsha. Why, I think Rabbi Perlman is correct, that this would definitely would win the prize. This would be the one that we would engage in our studies. And so the parsha famously begins with Moshe recounting how he beseeched Hashem to allow him to enter into Israel. And Hashem, of course, does not allow him to enter. Not only does Hashem not allow him to enter, Hashem tells him to not to speak anymore, right? Not to stop davening. Hashem says, "Bayom Hashem Eli, Rav Lach Al Tosef Daber Eli Ob Davar Zeh." Enough, Moshe, right? No more, no more. And Hashem to sort of seem this itself requires a lot of explanation why. He's given this opportunity, but Moshe is told to ascend the mountain to look into Israel. So I think right from the beginning, this conversation between Hashem and Moshe is very important on a few levels. Number one, we see that sometimes the answer is no. Right? Sometimes the answer from Hashem, as much as we daven, the answer is no from Hashem. Whatever the reason is, it's not always Hashem. Sometimes makes a decision. But I think also, you know, why did Moshe stop davening? Moshe stopped davening because Hashem told him to stop. The implication is, if Hashem doesn't tell you to stop, then what should you do? Keep on going, right? To never give up. And Moshe wasn't going to give up, right? Moshe thought he stole it. So God told him to stop. But I don't know if God has ever told any of us to stop davening. And therefore, I think right from the beginning, it sets a very powerful idea that we continue to beseech Hashem, even when things seem to be so far out of reach, and things seem to be so dire and so remote. Nonetheless, we should continue to daven, try to beseech Hashem, and Hashem may respond. So again, right from the get-go, I think there's a very powerful message that's contained within the parsha. Moving forward, so the next thing that the Torah tells us, and this is now in Perek Daled in Sefer Devarim, Moshe tells us the following: "Vatal Yisrael Shema Lachokim VaMishpatim Asher Anochim LaMeid Eschem LaSos." That listen to the laws, right? Listen to the statutes. Remember, this is Moshe's final speech, and so what does he want to impart to the Jewish people? Like, what is so critical that they need to hear before he passes away? Like, what is the one thing that they need to understand? So Moshe is going to say over and over again in this week's parasha, as well as throughout Sefer Devarim, keep the Torah, keep the Chukim, keep the Mishpatim, the various laws, the ordinances, the statutes. L'man tichyu v'asem v'yishtem es aretz. You want to live as a people? You, as the Jewish people, you want to inherit the land, you want to be able to enter the land. What do you need to do? Keep the mitzvos. Keep the Torah. Right? That's a takeaway. Right? The takeaway is, here's the Torah that Hashem gave us. And if you want things to be good, if you want Hashem to bless us and to allow us to have a land of Israel, we need to observe the mitzvos. Furthermore, then he says, "Lo sosifu al davar she'ani olchim mitzaveh eschem lo sigru mimenu." When it comes to the Torah, this is what it is, right? This is the complete package, the Torah. Don't ever add on to the Torah, and don't ever take away from the Torah. Chazal Rashi quotes the Gemara. They understand from this, it's like this is very like focused. You know, if the Torah said, if we have a tradition that we have you know, four parshios of a tefillin, don't add a fifth, and don't take away one. Don't do only three. If there's four species that we take on Sukkot, don't say, you know, I like a rose bush, I'll add a rose bush to make it five. Or, you know, I don't like the esrog is a little hard to hold, I'm only gonna do three. Right? Don't add, don't take away. In addition to that, again, the pshat, the simple explanation. And again, a very powerful and important reminder to the Jewish people, this is the Torah, right? And don't think, you know, whether it's tomorrow, whether it's in a few years, whether it's in 3,000 years. If someone says we need to take away this mitzvah, doesn't make sense, that these halachos, that these laws, they're outdated, that we now have a new approach, don't take away, right? This is the Torah. And don't add to the Torah. Don't say, oh, I think the Torah would be better if we would do the following. Right? There's certain rabbinic laws that we have to safeguard the Torah. Elsewhere, the Torah talks about the Shmartem, about guarding the Torah, safeguarding the Torah. But you're not, the Rambam explains his Mishnah Torah, we cannot add on to biblical laws. Right? This is the Torah, and you should never add, and you should never as well take away. So again, right from the get-go, three very important, powerful messages. The first about tefillah, that sometimes the answer is no, but at the same time, if you didn't hear no from Hashem, they continue to daven, never to give up. The next critical lesson is that keep the Torah. Right? You want the land of Israel. You want things to be good. Observe the Chukim Mishpatim. Observe the laws. And now, number three, don't add on to the Torah and do not take away from the Torah. Do not take away any of the mitzvos as well. And then we get to one of our very famous and well-known psukim. And this is at the end of Sheni. And Moshe has just told the Jewish people that if you don't keep the Torah, so bad things can happen. And the example is, remember what happened to Baal Peor. Baal Peor, that happened in the 40th year when the Jewish people sinned with the daughters of Midian after the story with Bilam. He says, Kol Isha Sherlach Achrei Baal Peor, whoever followed Baal Peor, that idolatry, Hishmido, they've been destroyed. Right, 24,000 people have died as a result of a plague. But then Moshe says, V'atem hadvekim, v'ashem alokechem, chayim kochem hayo. Right, a very famous pasuk. V'atem hadvekim, Torah reading, you say this. You who cling to Hashem your God, you are living today. Right, if you cling to Hashem, right, you will... Now, this doesn't necessarily mean that every individual Jew is always going to live and that nothing ever bad is going to happen to them. We don't understand God's ways. They're mysterious to us. But I think it means you collectively, the Jewish people. You collectively, the Jewish people, if you're davek, if you cling, if you connect to Hashem, chayim kochem hayom, that you will live. You will live. Okay. Then Moshe continues and tells us the following. I'm not going to go through the entire, I'm going to be skipping around now a lot, but he tells us the following. This is in a Perek Adal na Pasuk Ches. Umi goy gadol asher lo chukim mishpatim tzadikim kechol ha-Torah zos asher nochi nosim etnechem hayom. He reminds the Jewish people of the righteousness of the Torah, of how just the Torah is, about to appreciate the mitzvos, to appreciate what it is that God shared with the Jewish people. And again, you have to put yourself in the minds of human beings living at the time when the Torah was given, 3,800 years ago, approximately, right? 3,000, 4,000 years ago, and about what the Torah introduced in terms of sensitivity towards the poor and the orphan and the widow and the downtrodden and taking care of those who are less fortunate and of honesty and integrity. In other words, Moshe says, what other nation has such laws? What other nation is bound by such values, right? That this was what was novel about the Torah. The Torah introduced concepts and ideas that we sort of take for granted today in terms of, you know, we call them Western values embraced by many religions. But the Torah introduced this. The Torah introduced a lot of these values and taught us, you know, in terms of how to treat other human beings. And that to be a godly person, to be someone who's connected to something divine, that it's not just enough to worship and to believe and to offer sacrifices, but a critical part is what that God expects of us in terms of how we relate to other human beings. Migoy gadol shelo akim kovim elav kashem akim v'chol kriya elav. Migoy gadol shelo chukim shatim tzadikim. Right, these are tzaddikim, these are righteous laws. You know, sometimes I see this with children often, they don't often appreciate, you know, what's so special about being Jewish? Right, what's so wonderful about being Jewish? And Moshe here is reminding us about what's so beautiful about being Jewish. Right? One of the things about, you know, what the Torah actually tells us to do and what the Torah expects from us. And it's important to remind ourselves of this. And Moshe felt it was very important for the Jews at the time to appreciate that as well. But then immediately Moshe says, and as a result, but don't forget that you need to keep these mitzvot. where it's easy to forget. It's easy to forget what you experienced. Right, you stood before Hashem at Choriv at Har Sinai. It's very easy to forget something. I had a fascinating comment this past week with someone who attends Minyan regularly for years and years, but due to COVID and due to some health concerns, even now has not gone back to Shul. And the person told me that they've gotten used to not being in Shul. Right? You just adapt. And we're resilient as human beings, but he said how frightening that is to him, because for 30, 40 years, you know, every day he's been at Shul, and now he can't, and now it's normal, and now he's comfortable, and it's easy, we can so quickly lose that which we're accustomed to. And that which is normal. Now, sometimes that's very powerful. That's very important to be resilient, to be able to cope with situations that present themselves in a positive sense. But here in a negative sense, that which you're doing, all the good things that a person has done in their life, it's very, very quickly could unravel. And Moshe says, you know, you're at a Har Sinai. You heard the Torah. He's going to say in a little bit, talking about hearing God's voice and the Torah being given. And, you know, the moment of the experience was transformative, but you got to stay strong. You have to remain committed. You have to constantly reinforce those values and to remind yourself of why this is important. Because if you don't, it can quickly dissipate. Again, that applies to so many things in life. A person can be on a diet, right, for many, many months, a couple years, and you can be really strong and good. But, you know, you cheat here, you cheat there, before you know it, it totally, everything you worked on for all those years, you know, you bring the weight back on. So we understand that easily can happen with that. And certainly when it comes to observance and commitment to Hashem, so Moshe reminds us as well how quickly it can be lost. We need to remain strong. Okay, then Moshe continues to discuss Har Sinai and what you heard and what you experienced, and to remember you didn't see any physical form of God. God is not physical, and as a result, you can't create anything that's physical to represent Hashem. And then I'm going to skip a little more, and then Moshe tells us the following. This is Perek Dalad, Pasek Chav Zayin. He says, you're going to go into the land of Israel, right? When you go into the land of Israel, it's not going to be an empty land, right? There's going to be other people living there. And when you enter that land, says Moshe, you're going to see lots of things. And some of those things may be enticing. And therefore, he several points in this week's parasha reminds the Jewish people to be very careful not to follow those things. And if you do follow those things, so what's going to happen as a result? So exile. Exile is going to result. And he tells us, you're going to be scattered amongst the nations. And when you're scattered amongst the nations, you'll be left few in number. Right, you'll be small in number, we see this unfortunately in Jewish history, right? Yeah, I think someone famously once said that in theory the Jewish people we should be as large as the Chinese, right? There should be hundreds of millions of Jews, but what has happened over time? We've been scattered, we've been exiled, we've been persecuted. Often Jews have often left the faith as well, and we're told we're going to be the smaller nation, right? We're going to be this small nation, and we're going to be introduced to things that we never heard of before, we never experienced before. But then he says something very reassuring. And this should be somewhat familiar, these next few psukim. Uvikashtem misham es Hashem elokecha matzasa. But ultimately you will not forget Hashem. Right, Moshe tells the Jewish people, which is incredible, You're going to be scattered. It's unlike what he said before, how easy it is to forget things and to move on. The Jewish people will never forget that they're Jewish. Now, sometimes it's because the nations of the world remind us, but ultimately you will seek out Hashem. Umatzasa, and when that happens, you will find God. In other words, even when you're in exile and you're so distant from the land of Israel, you will still be able to connect with Hashem. He said, "Yishenu b'chol avavcha v'chol nafshacha." But when you search Hashem, when it's honest, when it's earnest, with all your heart and with all your soul. Now, of course, this pasuk should sound somewhat familiar, because I believe we say this pasuk when we say the slichos, leading up to Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we say these psukim, right? You will seek out and you will find, you'll seek out Hashem and you will find Hashem. And ultimately, we're told the next pasuk, v'shavta ad Hashem alkach, and you will return to Hashem your God. Right, which is very reassuring. You will ultimately return, v'shamata b'kolo, and you will listen to his voice. And so, but then the question is, well, who said Hashem is interested in restarting the relationship? Right, we rejected him, we abandoned him, we did not follow what the Moshe reminded us to do. So you know what Moshe says? Not to worry. Ki kel rachum Hashem l'kecha. Hashem is merciful. Right? Hashem is like as a parent. Hashem is merciful. Lo yarpecha v'lo yashchisecha. Right? And as a result, because Hashem has this attribute of rachmim, of mercy, he will never abandon you. He will never destroy you. He'll never forget the covenant that he made with your forefathers. Right? Hashem will not forget it. So, Moshe at this point in the Torah is reminding the Jewish people how critically important it is to keep the Torah, not to be seduced by what you see in the land and the other nations. And if you do follow after them, you're going to be met with exile. And you're going to be sent to places you never heard of, and you're going to be small and few in number. But don't forget that you ultimately will return, and Hashem will not abandon you. You just have to seek out Hashem. Right? That's a very important word. V'kashtem misham, right? Bakasha, you have to seek out and search Hashem. If you do matzasa, you will find him. And then he says something very powerful, Moshe. How do we know it's all true? How do we know it's all what we're doing is correct? How do we know this Torah is a true Torah? How do we know in following God we're doing the right thing? And that we heard even God, like I even encountered God. So Moshe says the following: Hashema am kol kim dabim mitoch eish kasher shemata tavayechi. Has a nation ever heard the voice of God speaking from the fire? And have lived, you experienced God, right? You heard Hashem speaking to you, right? When you're in your Har Sinai. So in other words, you as a people, right? It wasn't me, Moshe, who heard God speaking. Who heard a God speaking? It was an entire nation. You can't make these things up, right? One person can say, God spoke to me at night. This is what he said. Who said he's telling the truth? But here, Moshe says, you all heard, the entire nation heard God. And not only that, you also experienced God's miracles and God's kindness and compassion in Egypt. He says, has one nation, an entire nation, been taken out of another nation with all them types of miracles and wonders and wars and outstretched hands, right? Like you experienced? And then he says, here's the next famous pasuk, Atah hareis al adas ki Hashem hu okim ein od milvado. Right, pasuk lamed hey, you have been shown in order to know that Hashem, he is the God, there is none beside him. Ein od milvado. You experience all these things because you have firsthand knowledge about God. You encountered God at Sinai as a people, and you experience God's kindness and God taking you out of Egypt. Okay, let me skip a little more. Another famous pasuk lamates, the adata hayom. I'm sorry, where is it? Bashivoso Vavecha, Ki Hashem Hu Akim, Bashemayim Nu'al Varas Mitachas Eino. Right at the end of Aleinu. Right, we have this in the end of Aleinu. You should know today and place upon your heart, Hashem, He is God, in the heavens above and the earth below. Eino, there is no other. And this section concludes, V'shamartas chukav es mitzvotav. Again, guard the statutes, guard the commandments that you're commanded, that I command you today. Shayitav l'cha, I'll be good for you. L'vanacha acharecha, for your children after you. L'man tarichu yamim adama, that you'll have long days on the earth. Asher Hashem l'kecha, l'sein l'cha kol yamim. That God has given you all these days. So, what has Moshe just done in this section? He's told the people the formula for success. Right? Keep the Torah. Keep the mitzvahs. He begins the section with it. He concludes the section with it. But he's also reassuring that even when you mess up, even when you make mistakes, don't think it's over. Right? You may be small in number, it'll be a punishment because of what you've done. But if you seek out Hashem, you will find Hashem. And Hashem will take you back. And if you ever have doubts about all this, you shouldn't have any doubts, because the entire nation experienced God at Sinai. You can't make this thing up. One person can make it up, but not a whole people. And the entire people, you saw God, you experienced God and God's kindness and what He did for you, right? Even, you know, I think I'll add this point, like even if you're in exile and things are so difficult and you're going to think, you know, I'm suffering during the Crusades, I'm suffering during the Khmelnytsky massacres, I'm suffering during this pogrom and that pogrom and the Holocaust, and you think it's all over, you think there's no hope, well, always remember Egypt, right? Always remember that the Jews thought it was all over then as well, and that they had no future. And yet God heard our cries, and God took us out of Egypt, and if He did it then, He can do it again as well. Okay. But then what happens next in the Parsha? So all of a sudden, we're told about something that doesn't seem so important. We're told about that Moshe separates these three cities of refuge, right? If someone kills by accident, so they have to flee to a city of refuge, which is, and Moshe separates the first three that were on the east bank of the Jordan River. He could do that. He was still alive, and they had conquered that area. Why does the Torah have to tell us this at this point? So if I think it's Rashi, or some of the Forshim suggest, well, we want to see that Moshe himself was excited about doing mitzvahs. This was the one mitzvah he was able to do, so he before he died, so he did this mitzvah. So that definitely could be. That's a nice explanation. But I want to suggest to connect it to what Moshe just said, and that is, you know, what's the point of the Ari Miklat? So the Ari Miklat is when you mess up. Right? The Ari Miklat is when a Jew, not necessarily intentionally, but clearly carelessly and recklessly causes someone else to die. Right? Someone who's totally being not careful, right? You drink and you get drunk and you get behind the car and you, God forbid, you kill someone. You didn't intend to kill the person. You have nothing against that person, but you're guilty. You're guilty. And so from the Torah's perspective, it's not a capital offense, but you need to go into exile. And the point of being in exile is hopefully to correct your ways, right? And to understand that you can still have another chance at life, even though you did something horrible and terrible, but you're going to have to work on yourself. And therefore, I think that's why he talks here about the Ari Miklat, because you may do some really bad things, Moshe says, but you're not going to be killed. It's not going to be always going to be a capital offense and it's over. But you're going to have to go into exile. You have to go to this Ari Miklat. And life there may be very difficult. But your goal in being there is to try to change yourself and trying to better yourself. And ultimately, you may be able, right, and the Kohen Gadol dies, and you're able to leave the Ari Miklat. You may have an opportunity for a second chance. And so I think that's why it's put here, because it's reinforcing this message that Moshe just shared. Okay. Then, skipping a lot, I'm not going to go through this, but you know, the Torah then tells in a little bit the Ten Commandments. And it's a fascinating study in the Sixth Parsha to look at the Ten Commandments to see the differences between the way it's presented here, the way it's presented in Parshas Yisro. But again, my Rabbi Rav Perlman said, you can only read one parsha, this would be the one. So obviously the Aseret HaDibros, that was one of the reasons why he made that that comment. And then after it talks about the Aseret HaDibros, let's just skip to the following. Okay, then we're told So then the next thing is Moshe then shares with the Jewish people. Again, he reminds them about the Aseret HaDibros, and this is the Torah and the mitzvos that you have to observe, and everything will be good for you if you observe these mitzvos. And then he says, Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Right? That's like our pledge of allegiance. Right? We declare our faith in God. The way I think Rashi explains the Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Here, O Israel, Hashem is our God. Hashem Echad, ultimately he'll be Echad. Everyone will recognize Hashem is one. And then the paragraph of the Ahavta. And then right after V'ahavta, we're told the following. V'haya, not V'haya, the second paragraph, but a different V'haya, and it will be when you enter the land. So you'll enter the land, right? You'll keep the mitzvot, you'll be deserving entering the land. And you know what's going to happen when you enter the land? So earlier I talked about the dangers of entering the land. The fact that there's going to be, you might be enticed to follow the idolatry of the people living there. But now here's another concern. You know what's going to happen when you enter the land? So the land is going to be beautiful. And not only is it going to be a beautiful land, there's going to be beautiful homes there and cities that have already been built. Other people built it. They're going to run away. You're going to defeat them. And we're told, Arim gdolos v'tovos ashir vanisa, right? These large, big cities that you didn't build, ubatim leim kol tuv, and houses that have everything. They have marble countertops in the kitchen, and they have all different types of living space and backyards, and everything will be incredible. You can have beautiful views from your decks and from your mirpaset. And you know what might happen? There's gonna be kramim, as they see them. There's gonna be vineyards and olive trees all over. You're gonna eat it. You're gonna be satisfied. It's gonna be wonderful. So you know what the danger is when that happens? You might come to forget Hashem. You might, because you don't need God. What do I need God for? I have everything that I could want. Right? When we're unfortunately in a very difficult, precarious situation, right? Medically, financially, then we all run to Hashem. Right? Then we cry out to God. But when everything is good, right? The job is going well, and if you're blessed with a beautiful family and a nice home, everything's great. So then, what do you need God for? Right? Pentushkach, you might come to forget Hashem. Right? So Moshe has to remind us not to do that. He's going to remind that again in a much more elaborate detail, not in this sixth parsha, but in parshas Ekev as well. Let me just make a couple of final points of things that that Moshe says, and a very important pasuk, another somewhat famous pasuk. This is Perek Vav Pasuk Yudches, V'asisa Hayasher V'atov B'nei Hashem. You shall do what is upright and is good in the eyes of God. Now, on the simple level, this is a very important pasuk. And I think this is a good, just your approach to life. You want to know whether to do something or not? Think about whether God would be happy with it. Right? Would God be proud of you if you make that decision, if you do that thing? Is that yashar and tov? Is that good in the eyes of God? If everyone, every time you made a decision, you just had that in mind, would God approve of this or not, we would be good people. We wouldn't make too many mistakes. Right? What does God think about this act? What I'm about to say, what I'm about to do, what I'm about to think, is God going to approve of it or not? So, Vasisa Yashar Veritov B'nei Hashem. And again, it'll be good for you if you do that. Now the Chazal Rashi quote an additional level of interpretation here. Chazal says Zub Shara, Lefnim Mishura Sadin, that this is also a reference to compromise. I actually had a case today. I was actually mediated a very interesting dispute today amongst a landlord and a tenant. Very fascinating a case. It's one of these cases that, you know, you're right and you're right. It was not like simple who was, you know, what should really happen in the situation. And we often in those cases advocate pshara, compromise. You know, everyone give in a little bit, right? No one's going to be completely happy. And no one's going to be, you know, unhappy. Like everyone, you'll be someone happy. So compromise, and try to go above and beyond the letter of the law. Lifnim mishura sadeh. Right? You know, sometimes when you do strict justice, so okay, you can win, but you wind up losing because you create a lot of enemies. And it's not. And God, Moshe just told us, God is compassionate, right? If God would do strict judgments, when we would be exiled, that'd be the end of it for us. But God doesn't do that. God does compromise. He goes above and beyond the letter of the law. God is compassionate. God gives us a second chance. So we should do that as well. And then the next thing that happens in the parasha, we're coming towards the end, is now, again, a pasuk that we're very familiar with because it comes, we say it at the Seder. Ki yishalcha bincha machal leimor ma ha'idus v'achukim v'mishpatim asher tziva Hashem akino aschem. Right? This is the Baal HaGadah says this is the question of the wise son, right? What are all these laws and statutes? And so it's interesting, we're not going to go into this now, but the Torah gives a different answer that the Baal HaGadah gives to the wise son, but the answer that he gives here is a very, very, very famous. What should you say to your son? Avadim hayinu l'paro v'mitzrayim. Right, we were slaves to power in Egypt, and God took us out with a strong, outstretched hand. Again, that's the question of the Chacham. And to just conclude, the very last Aliyah in the Parsha is also very, very important. You know, one of the big issues that the Jewish world has faced, you know, let's say the last 50 years, you know, when the hot button issue, especially in America, is the issue of intermarriage, right? The intermarriage rate and right how frightening it is. Jews leaving the fold, marrying out. And so, you know, the question, where does the Torah talk about intermarriage? Well, the answer is in this week's parsha, in Veschanan. Because now you got another concern, entering Israel. Again, Israel was not desolate when the Jews came there, right? There was people living there. And again, the good thing about people living there, the land was, they mowed the lawns and, you know, the place was looking okay when we entered. And we were able to take over some nice homes and vineyards. That's a good thing. It's also a danger. We might forget God because we get too comfortable. But the dangers are, number one, you might embrace their idolatry. And the other concern is you might marry them, right? You might marry them. Because when you go into the land, Moshe, this is the beginning of Perek Zion, you're going to encounter the Chiti, Girgashi, Amori, Kanani, Prizi, Chivi, Yavusi, Shiva Goyim, the seven nations. And so you got to keep your distance, says the Torah. And this sometimes gets Jews a little bit uncomfortable. But how do we balance our relationship with our non-Jewish neighbors and friends? About what's a healthy relationship? You want to be a positive role model, but also you got to be also a little careful not to embrace sometimes perhaps values that are foreign to Judaism. And therefore, Lo sichros lam bris, lo sechanein, you don't want to make covenants with them. Lo sechanein is, there's three different interpretations in the Gemara. What does lo sechanein, you shouldn't show them favor. You got to be careful about giving, you know, holiday gifts and things like that. You got to be careful not to make, you know, the kind of strong relationships with them. And then, lo sitchanein bam, you shall not marry them. Vitcha lo sitin levno, vitov lo tichach levanacha. Right, your daughter don't give to his son don't take for your daughter. No intermarriage. So this is the Torah prohibition of intermarriage, right here in our parsha. And the parsha concludes. Moshe concludes his words here in Parshas Veschanan. And again, basically where he started, and he tells us v'shamartes ha'mitzvos v'eschukim v'shrastim, keep the Torah. Keep the Torah. You know, it's interesting when you read, we're about to observe Tisha B'Av in a couple of days, we'll end off with this idea. So when you read Sefer Malachim, the book of Kings, that describes the entire period of the first base of Migdash, leading up, unfortunately, at the end, the conclusion, the destruction of the first base of Migdash, the same message is repeated over and over again. God tells us to David, God tells us to David HaMelech, to his son Shlomo HaMelech, God tells us to Yeravam when the kingdom splits. It's all the same message. And what's the message? Pretty simple formula. You keep the Torah, keep the mitzvos, Hashem says I'm with you. Your kingdom will endure. Right? Your children and your grandchildren, they always will remain, your dynasty will continue forever. But if you forsake me, says Hashem, and you don't observe the Torah, you don't keep the mitzvos, well then all bets are off. And at that point, there's going to be pretty significant consequences. That's Moses' message to the Jewish people. Right? Hashem wants to have a relationship with us. And in fact, he says here in the, at the end of the Parsha that, you know why Hashem chose us? This is in Pasuk Vav. Perek Zayin, Pasuk Vav. Hashem chose us liyoslo l'am sugura mikol amin. He, amongst all the nations of the world, God chose us. Now, why did He choose us? Are we the smartest people? Are we the brightest? Are we the best looking? Are we what's the better balance that God chose us? So Moshe says, "Lo mi rubchem mikom in." It's not because we're the largest nation. It's not because we're so powerful and strong and we have so many people, we're so impressive. That's not why God chose us. You know why Hashem chose us, says Moshe? Ki atem hamad, you're the smallest of the nations. So it's not because you're so fancy. Rather, ki me'avas Hashem astam. It's because Hashem loved you. Hashem loves us. Right? Hashem developed a relation with us and He loves us. And God's going to keep the promise that He made to our forefathers. So even though maybe we're not so deserving of Hashem's love when we forsake Hashem, but Hashem's going to keep the covenant. But Hashem loves us. Hashem cares about us. You know, and a parent, and even when a child sometimes disappointed, and a child sometimes doesn't do what the parent wants, and it can really let down a parent. But a parent always loves a child. A parent always maintains that relationship and always hopes that the child will return. But we have to do our part, says Moshe. We have to keep the Torah. We have to keep the mitzvos. And if we do that, Hashem will look out over us, will watch us, and ultimately allow us to remain and to thrive within the land that He's given us, about to give us, the land of Israel. So to conclude where I started, My middle school Rebbe, Rabbi Perlman, Rabbi Yaakov Perlman, I guess I didn't totally appreciate this at the time, but I think he really is correct that this Parsha, you know, God forbid, we only choose one Parsha, this Hanan would have to, be the one. It has the fundamentals of the Ten Commandments, the Shema Yisrael, the Ahavta, reminds us of the Seder, the question of the Chacham, many famous, important psukim. And then all these important messages about the land of Israel, what will allow us to remain there, to be careful about our surroundings. And then even when things go wrong, remember that Hashem will never forsake us. And as long as we search out Hashem, Bikashtem Hashem, as long as we search out Hashem, Matzasa, you will find Hashem. Right, no matter where you are, no matter how far you've strayed, you will find Hashem, and ultimately at that moment, Hashem will bring you back. And I think that's a very powerful message. Again, we're about to begin Tisha B'Av, and and we think about how distant we are, and about how painful our journey has been over all these centuries of exile. But the relationship is still there. Hashem loves us. He's remembered the commitment He made to the Avos. And it's within our hands to renew it, to strengthen it, and ultimately to completely, as a people, to be brought back to Israel and to be there, to be able to live there in peace and to serve Hashem completely and with great devotion, following the Torah in all its details, serving Hashem where we're supposed to be, in the land of Israel.